Good evening. We'd like to call the Economic Development, Trade, and Tourism Special Committee to order. In attendance are Representative Lynn Coghill, Co-Chairman Newman, and myself, Ramirez. We are delighted to have Steve Deaton here with the U.S. Postal Service, who's come from Anchorage, to help us with the issue of bypass mail. It's 5:25. We'd like to try and have this hearing in about an hour's time, if we can, for the benefit of the members. And we've got some offline testimony that we want to take from some of the members of communities up north and out in Barrow, and then some other folks online as well. With that, is our computer we're working at this point?
We're working on it, so you may want to take them out.
Okay. Mr. Deaton, if it's okay with you, we'll probably wait until we've got good technical proficiency and then proceed.
If it's
yes, sir.
For your information, if it turns out that it's not working, I do have the presentation in handouts that I can pass out to the committee.
That may be better, Mr.
Yeah, Chairman. That might be better. So if you want to come up and proceed with that, should be fine. And then, ladies, you're welcome to. We won't nobody will be distracted by you. We'll be no problem. We have some extra copies, Steve, for the folks that are out in the audience. Do you have a?
I've got a few, not enough for everyone. I can make them. I can set them aside for them to pick up.
But when we get
I was told maybe a dozen, so that's what I made.
Sure, that's fine.
Ms. Karen?
Here we go.
Oh.
You want it? Would you, Jane, could you make a, I don't know, you have a few extra copies, is that right?
I've got probably eight or nine.
I'll be more than happy to pass those out for you.
Okay, and then maybe we can make another half a dozen copies or a dozen copies for folks as well. Representative Kelly, and I saw Representative Kapsner for a second. She's on. Do you want to come up and join us? Are you comfortable? Would you want to come up? We'd be happy to have you. And just don't sit there. Representative Dahlstrom is just walking in. Representative Dahlstrom is also with us. Okay, with that, Steve, we're delighted to have you. If you just introduce yourself and your capacity with the Postal Service, we'd appreciate it for the record. And then feel free to... Yes, sir, huh?
I'm Steve Deaton from the Western Area Distribution Network's office in Anchorage with the Postal Service. With me is Ernie Swanson, Communication Program Specialist with our area office, which is based out of Seattle. And I'd like to thank the committee for offering us this opportunity to come up and provide some information, some hard facts on what the Fairbanks Dead Horse proposal entails. And I apologize for not being able to put on the presentation.
It's fine.
But as I said, I have handed out two documents. One is copies of the presentation itself that I would ask people to follow along, and we'll just try to wing it from that point. The second document that we handed out is a copy of the business plan for the Fairbanks to Dead Horse to Barrow modal change. It's the most current up-to-date one. The date on it's 2/28/2006. The current business plan identifies that there are three operators, air carriers, that are flying between Fairbanks and Barrow currently. They are Everett's Air Cargo, Northern Air Cargo, and Alaska Airlines. These are the carriers that under the current circumstances we use to transport both bypass mail and in-house non-priority mail between Fairbanks and Barrow and Barrow's Bush Points. Now those two flows of mail make up a single rate class, which we call standard mail. priority mail, express mail first class, and priority mail first class and express mail all move in a different mail flow. The business plan identifies that the proposal that we have is to create a surface leg, and instead of flying the mail up from Fairbanks to Barrow on one of those three air carriers, to truck the mail from Fairbanks up to Dead Horse on a surface contract, and then at that point fly it from Dead Horse over to Barrow on any carriers, mainline carriers, that are interested in participating in that mail movement.
Steve, what's the weather like in Dead Horse?
In general or today? Or
no, in general, I know Dead Horse to have a lot of inclement whiteout days, and is the Postal Service familiar with the weather, the general weather patterns, and Juneau is tough for weather.
Yeah, we have mail that for the past 20 years has gone up the road to Dead Horse on this same contract, and then has flown out of Dead Horse to Kaktovik, Barter Island, Nuiqsut.
Okay.
So there's established road service into Dead Horse and established air service out of Dead Horse that we have used for over 20 years to move mail.
Okay.
And like the Arctic, like the chain, like the coastal areas, there are days when nobody can fly, and there are days when the weather is passable. So it's not unlike Barrow, it's not unlike Fairbanks.
Okay.
The next slide kind of shows a map of the road, the Dalton Highway, that goes from Fairbanks up to Dead Horse. And then I don't think it came across very well on the printed portion here, but shows the air leg from Dead Horse to Barrow that we anticipate carriers will participate in. As I mentioned earlier, the next slide shows that we have a contract that has been in place for some 20-odd years moving mail up this road on a three-day-a-week schedule, and then flying, transferring to air carriers to then fly on to final destination. This contractor has existing facilities that are in Dead Horse, sufficient to handle mail storage, mail transfer, and ground handling activities. And they're also well experienced in that, having conducted those things. The next two slides show an example of the current contractor's facility. It is a heated storage facility. They have the ability to handle palletized loads. They have the ability to handle, with their stake bed trucks and their overhead doors, to handle igloos, to handle postal equipment, forklifts, pallet jacks, whatever's necessary. One of the concerns that we have, and we know that the residents and the our customers have, is the actual handling of the mail as it moves up the road to Dead Horse. The trailer specifications that we have put into the contract for our surface provider include a technology for a specific type of temperature control van. Now, this is something that we have not been using. Yes, sir.
No, I'm trying to get attention to the lady back here.
This is something that we have not been using on the existing contract, but we are, with the increase in service from 3 day a week to 7 day a week to add the Barrow mail, we are requiring the carrier to put these into use. They're called Thermo King vans, and the two slides describe the fact that they handle dry, freeze, and chill all within one specific or one number of vans. This means that with movable bulkheads and temperature control units, a van can transport in the summer freeze and chill and dry product, which is frequent in bypass mail, within the same van, and have zones within that van that protect each type of product in its own environment. Similarly, in the wintertime, these van control units can be set to, instead of freezing and chill, can be set to heat, and they can protect the dry and the chill product from freezing as the vans are moving up to Dead Horse. Obviously, once in Dead Horse, the facilities in the for the ground handler and the facilities for the air carriers that choose to participate will also be heated and have storage requirements for handling the mail when it's in the ground. The next slide kind of goes through the portion of the business plan that describes the volumes of mail, and this next section handles the volumes and the actual dollars and cents that we're looking at. As I said earlier, in-house non-pry, we refer to it as IHNP. That's the mailing boxes and non-pry mail that you would bring into a post office anywhere and mail across the counter. Bypass mail is mail that authorized shippers provide in 1,000-pound minimum units to the Postal Service for transport to restaurants, stores, businesses, those kinds of and people in the interior, the subsistence type food commodities that people in the stores need. The in-house non-pry projected volumes based on FY 2004-05 are about 1.7 million pounds per year. This is Barrow and Barrow Village Point mail originating in Fairbanks.
Wait, Steve, when you said food stock, does that include perishable products, milk, eggs, lettuce?
Bypass mail can accept, at shipper's risk, perishable and freeze and chill. What you mail across the counter, the in-house non-pry, that is not included in that. That's not mailable in that matter.
What does shipper's risk mean? Can you define that for me?
The bypass mail program recognizes the fact that there are subsistence type commodities, foodstuffs that are difficult to get and more costly to get in a freight manner. Doesn't mean they aren't shipped that way, but they're more costly. We do not guarantee bypass mail, freeze and chill, perishable items. By our domestic mail manual, it's not mailable. But in recognition of the needs of Alaska Interior and the residents, we allow shippers and customers to enter that type of product as long as it's frozen solid upon entry and clearly marked freeze and chill. And then we ask that carriers, whether it's surface or air, make every effort to, one, care for that product in freeze and chill facilities if they have them, and two, to expedite that movement of that in a manner so that that mail does not degrade. Shipper's risk means exactly what it says, that it's not technically allowable in the bypass mail system, but we will allow people to do that, and all the carriers in the Postal Service will do everything they can to get that mail home in a reasonable condition.
Is it likely to take longer with the bypass mail that's being proposed or is going to be implemented than the mechanism for delivery for mail presently with the carriers?
It's possible. There's a section here in just a minute where I'll talk about if you don't mind, I'll talk about the service standard of that mail.
Sure.
So that we understand that.
Thank you.
Bypass mail is about 8.5 million that we're talking of adding to the surface contract. The total is about 10.2, and then the average per week is 196,000, and the average per day is about 28,000. Now, we're anticipating there are three carriers that have indicated that they would be interested in participating in this market, so these volumes would be divided equitably under statute requirements for equitable tender of this mail. The next slide covers the cost of transporting that mail from Fairbanks to Barrow today. The 10.2 million pounds of mail, the current air rate is about 66 cents a pound. for a cost of $6.7 million that it cost the Postal Service to get that mail home. Now, I think it's important to note that, to understand that this is surface mail. The rates that people pay for this is the surface rate that in the lower 48 we would put on a truck, a train, a boat, and send for a two-week period to wherever it was going. Obviously, no surprise to any of us up here that there's no roads, and this causes a serious revenue shortfall for the Postal Service because with a $120 million budget for moving mail in the air in Alaska, because of the fact that we have to fly surface mail, and we're not allowed to charge more for it because we fly for it, it's a universal standard for rates, we lose about $60 million a year flying this non-priority mail around the state of Alaska. So the purpose of this and other diversions that we'll cover in a few minutes is to try and decrease the revenue losses that the Postal Service encounters in Alaska in providing this bypass, this critical need for bypass mail service. The next slide is the projected cost of the surface transportation. We have negotiated a rate with the incumbent surface provider, which we're allowed to do under Title 39 U.S. Code. And the negotiated rate is approximately 11 cents, a little more, 11.7 cents per pound. At that 10.2 million pounds per annum, the surface movement would cost us about $1.2 million a year to move this mail to Dead Horse. The next slide shows that under the existing rate for transportation of mail between Dead Horse and Barrow, which is 41 cents a pound, that 10.2 million pounds would cost the Postal Service about 4.1 million. And then moving to the next slide, as you can see that when you compare those two, this comes to about a $1.35 million of savings a year. We feel that's a pretty substantial amount, and that's part of the reason, that's the major reason for the proposal.
Let me ask you a question again, please. Does the Postal Service take into account the effect that it has on the communities, or is this just a profit and loss function in trying to pursue efficiency by the U.S. Postal Service?
Absolutely. In this diversion, this modal change, and in other surface diversions in the past, we always take into account what's going to happen with the community, what the concerns are, what the realities are. And that's one of the reasons that we've had several meetings with the communities, with the mayoral offices, with the borough offices, to hear from the communities what their concerns are, what they think the impacts will be, both in terms of service, in terms of product degradation, in terms of economic impact. And we try to understand what those are and understand what fall within the business purview of the Postal Service and what don't fall within the business purview. I do have a couple comments in a few minutes that talk sure. In conjunction with this on that. In that same vein, here are some, the next slide shows some of the community meetings that we've had. Now, generally, when the Postal Service makes transportation decisions, it's based specifically on service standard. The customer purchases a product. That product may be a one-day, two-day, three-day, or 10-day product. And the Postal Service then uses its best cost alternative transportation to get that product there within the service standard that the customer purchased. With the sensitivity of bypass mail, no roads, interior residents, while there's nothing in our regulations that mandate that we have public meetings to discuss these kinds of modal changes, we felt it was important to do that. We felt the communities would have concerns, that we felt they'd like to know what we intend to do. So in line with that, we had community meetings in Barrow on August 24th of last year, in which we shared with them this information. We had community meetings in Fairbanks on September 23rd of last year. Again, we shared with them this information. We had a meeting on November 22nd in Fairbanks, where I specifically met with the Fairbanks North Star Borough, the Fairbanks Economic Development Corps, mayoral offices, and went over the project, went over bypass mail, the reasonings behind revenue losses, the service standards, all of the issues that we're talking about today. Following those meetings, we also provided all of those entities the copies of the current, at the time, business plan that I've passed out to you, which is an updated version as we've continued with this proposal. There was a telecon held in March. Yes,
sir. Excuse me for a second. Chairman Newman.
Yes, Steve. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Steve, you'd mentioned that you talked to the folks in Barrow and Fairbanks. Couple of questions is, what was the general consensus of those talks? What did the people there think of this? I know I've talked to some of those folks too. But what about some of the more out of the way places, Point Lay or Wainwright, who are going to be affected by this? Did you talk to those communities, and what's the overall feeling that you got from the citizens there?
Specifically the meeting in Barrow, we put on the presentation for residents, and we posted it in the Point Lay and Wainwright at the post offices, the community offices, so that they would be aware. And there were a number of people that either flew in or called in from some of those locations to have their comments heard. To be quite honest with you, the comments, the atmosphere or the way the people felt about it at the time was negative. And quite honestly, the reason it was negative is because they had not heard our proposal. That was the first time they were dealing with a lot of rumors and innuendo and fears about what they had heard, but that was the first opportunity we had to actually present the facts as we're presenting them today. Fairbanks was 3 weeks later. There were people in Fairbanks from some of those communities, from Barrow and some of those communities, and some that called in also. The concern was still there about this proposal. There were people that, after hearing a couple of sessions of the facts of what we're doing, that were not no longer dead set against it. But in all honesty, there's still people very concerned about what we were going to do and what the impacts would be.
Sure, sir. So, Steve, I guess what you're telling me is you've heard negative comments on this. You talked to the folks. There was still somewhat a negative comment. Did you ever get a sense that the citizens who are affected by this really like this plan and say, yeah, bring it on, we want to see more of this?
My sense was, being in both places, that the majority of them were hesitant to embrace this proposal. There were some that did, but the majority did not. I think some of it has to do with the perception that it's going to affect them in a negative way. You mentioned the points out of Barrow. There's absolutely no impact on the bush service or the mail service standard for the mail from Barrow to any of those points. It's our belief that this will be transparent. I have a piece on service standards in a few minutes that may make that a little clearer as to why we feel that way. But again, my sense is, and I've been doing this for a long time in Interior Alaska on projects and mail changes and modal changes, my sense is a lot of people are still concerned of the unknown. Not necessarily they doubt the facts of what we're saying, but they're not sure what's going to happen. They're not sure how it will end up happening.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I believe we're going to hear from some of those mayors. So we'll go to there.
Okay, thanks. Okay. The next slide moves into the service. All right.
Nice job, lady.
All right.
Good work.
Should I take just a second in case we can get this on track?
I think we are.
Yeah, I think they've got us right.
Can you just hit slideshow?
No. Yeah.
Where is it?
Market of Goodies restaurant.
There. No, it's not doing it.
Mr. Chairman, you might call it brief at ease while we do this. Yeah. We're cutting up a lot of air.
Let's have a brief at ease while you get this. Are you close, do you think, Steve?
There's one last step that she's trying to do. We should put it out if it works.
Can we go to slide 16 then? Or do you? I just want to make sure we try and get this meeting in.
Would you like me to continue?
We can go to page 16. That's the page we're on.
Sure.
And it might behoove some of the other members to help follow them along. You mentioned which page you're on as you go along.
All right.
Go ahead.
Okay, we're on page 16. This slide shows the service standards for non-priority standard mail, which includes in-house non-pry and bypass mail. And this is a universal standard for the entire country. It also applies to the zip codes for this class of mail in Alaska. The service standard for bypass mail, non-pry mail, is 5 to 7 days. The transit window, and that is the requirements for carriers or surface folks to move mail, is the current standards are for the mail to be moved from Fairbanks to Barrow by the end of the second day following the day of tender. If it has not moved by the first leg air carrier at that point, then it's subject to transfer to a second carrier. Obviously, 2 days is still well within the 5 to 7 day service standard. The bush carrier, this is the carrier at Barrow taking it on to the Point Lays, Atkasucks, and Wainwrights, has until the end of the day following day of receipt to get it to final destination and delivered to home. The proposed service standard does not change. It's still a 5 to 7 day service standard for this class of mail. The truck surface contract has until the end of the day following day of tender to move that mail to Dead Horse. The two air legs do not change. They still have the end of the second day following the day that they receive it to transport it via mainline to Barrow, and the bush carrier the same thing if it's going past Barrow. So for instance, for Barrow mail, if mail were tendered to the service contract on Monday, they would have it 7 days a week. They would have it in Dead Horse by Tuesday. The air carrier would have until the end of Thursday to move it to Barrow and be delivered. So from a Monday to a Thursday falls well within the 5 to 7 day service standard for this class of mail. Now you would add one more day if it were going past Barrow, which would be Friday, if it were going to Atkasuck, Point Lay, or Wainwright, which again falls well within the 5 to 7 days. Now the reality is now and when this proposal goes forward, we anticipate mail will move faster than the service standard and faster than the transit windows. Some mail does now, some mail moves with in line with the transit window. Specifically, perishable items tend to move at the start, at the head of the pile. In looking at impacts on communities, I thought it'd be important to share with the committee that this Fairbanks to Barrow modal change is not unique. It's not unique within the Postal Service, and it's certainly not unique within Alaska. The Postal Service has done many modal changes and surface diversions over the past 20 years within Alaska for bypass mail and for regular mail. One of the ones that we have done that I put on the screen, where we diverted all bypass mail to Dutch Harbor from air to once-a-week service on CSX container ships. So their service went from 7 days a week to once a week, as did Kodiak. That, again, is still within the service standard for that class of mail, and it is still within the product that the customer purchases. One thing that we have not really covered very much, but we offer other products. If people want to move mail within 1 day, 2 days, or 3 days, that we offer that product for customers to use, and a lot of customers use it. They use our express mail, our priority mail, our first class products to move high sensitive items or items that that are time sensitive. In terms, to answer Representative Ramirez and Representative Newman's questions about the impacts on the community, one of the concerns that we heard was passenger service in terms of level and passenger service in terms of airfare. I think through all three of the meetings that we've had so far, we have had Alaska Airlines, who we all know is the not the only but the predominant passenger carrier in that Fairbanks Barrow market. We've had them at all of the meetings, and consistently their honest answer has been they don't know what the impacts will be in terms of their passenger service. The Postal Service doesn't set carrier schedules. We don't set carrier pricing, but we recognize mail piggybacks on those flights. Alaska Airlines does have an essential air service minimum requirement to provide service to Barrow at the levels of, I'm told by DOT, 14 flights a week in the summer and a minimum of 7 flights a week in the winter. So they're held to once a week and twice a week minimum standards. Doesn't mean they have to drop them to that. That means they can't go any lower than that. And that is an EAS subsidized market. When we diverted to Dutch Harbor to surface once a week, we heard the same concerns. Passenger fares are going to go through the roof. People are going to lose flights. They're going to chop service. So we went back and took a look at exactly what happened. The passenger service for Dutch Harbor when we made the surface diversion was Alaska Airlines had one flight daily and one flight 6 days a week. The cost of a Y-fare ticket was $537, and the cost of a 7-day advance ticket was $447. We made this diversion in 92, right? Yeah. 2005, we took a look at what happens with the service. Penn Air has 5 flights a day with 30 passenger aircraft. These are not your small Bush chieftains and small aircraft. These are large size commuter aircraft. They have, instead of one flight a day and one flight 6 days a week on a jet, they have 5 flights a day with 30 passenger aircraft. The cost of a fare is actually decreased by $10. The cost of a 7-day advance went up by $10. So does that predict the future? Absolutely not. We don't, the Postal Service has no say in air carrier setting schedules or fares, but we thought it would be helpful to review alike circumstances to see whether the concerns and the statements that were being made at the time ended up being true, and we found that there really was not that much of an impact. In that same light, I thought it would be important for the committee to understand, again, that this is not unique. We are diverting, the Postal Service is scheduled to lose over $1 billion this year nationwide. We are, transportation nationwide are finding cost deferments and cost reducing efforts all over the country. In Alaska, we have been doing that just like they have in the lower 48. Past surface diversions that I've mentioned, Dutch Harbor, Kodiak, were to surface on container ship once a week, but we've also diverted to highway in other areas. Just last year, we diverted all of the priority mail from Anchorage to Fairbanks to highway from surface, from air. Save the Postal Service close to $2 million a year. It was not highly accepted by the Fairbanks community. What we found is it was a transparent move. It's a 3-day service standard. The mail, even on surface, gets up there within 2 days. And to the consumer, to our customers who we care about, it was a transparent item. It's no longer an issue.
Excuse me, with all due respect, it was just reported in our paper last week that Fairbanks mail is going to Anchorage to being processed, then coming back to Fairbanks and being distributed. Nobody I know is enjoying a 3-day service standard in Fairbanks presently. That was just an Endermit Cole column. I just read.
I think part of that is a misunderstanding. There is a small portion of one class of mail that is Anchorage is using Anchorage's automation temporarily to what we call delivery point sequence that mail. Not all of the priority rate mail. That's just a piece of it that is being sent to Anchorage for automation. I believe the plan is to have Fairbanks get that particular type of automation in the future, but that is being handled that way now. But that is not all of the priority rate mail flow that's been diverted.
So Fairbanks is not enjoying that standard presently?
I believe that all mail coming into Anchorage that is being DPS'd and used automated processes in Anchorage is still moving that same evening via surface up to Fairbanks. The slide shows several other communities throughout the state where we have made surface diversions for this non-priority mail. Just to draw a summary to some of the things that I've talked about today, I think it's important to some of the media, some of the rumors, some of the word of mouth comments that have been made. The Postal Service is not changing anything in the bypass mail program. We are simply effecting a modal change for transportation within that bypass mail flow. Mail will still come out of Fairbanks. Mail will still destinate in Barrow and Barrow Bush points. It will simply move on a one-leg surface piece before it goes in the air onto Barrow. We believe the change in mail flow will be transparent to the customer. The service standard the customer buys is a 5 to 7 day service standard, and we believe the mail will destinate at final destination well within that service standard. We also believe that the sensitive products, the freeze and chill, will in actuality enjoy better conditions due to the technology in the temperature control vans, where they will be, during transport, they will be in an environment that will allow them to maintain their condition, which is not the case while they're in transport and aircraft currently. As I said earlier, this does not affect the bush communities. Once mail hits Barrow, it will go on the same bush carriers at the same mail flow to the same bush destinations, within the same service standard. In terms of passenger fares or passenger level of service, the Essential Air Service program is designed and has set the number of the minimum number of flights that carriers can fly in and out of interior of Alaska destinations, and that is the purpose of that program, is to protect passenger service within the state of Alaska. As I mentioned earlier, perishables and food-type commodities, we really believe, will actually arrive in Barrow and those communities in better shape than they currently are now. Again, due to the temperature control vans that will maintain them in their desired environment during transport. All of these things, we feel, contribute to decreased revenue shortfall in Alaska, which allows the Postal Service to continue operating using commercial air carriers, certificated air carriers, and provide to assist in providing a stable air transportation system within the state of Alaska. And thank you for your time.
Great, great presentation. Thank you very much. Are there questions for Mr. Deaton? Mr. Deaton, we thank you for that, and we may call you back up here since it's kind of we're going to get some counter presentation as well. Mr. Roper, Dennis, are you here?
Let me get this stuff out of your way and I'll get mine.
Thanks for coming to see us. We appreciate it. Thank you again, Steve.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Dennis Roper. I'm a special assistant to Mayor Itta for Government and External Affairs. Mayor Itta asked me to extend his regrets to you, Mr. Chairman. He had another engagement, and he just couldn't break that commitment, but he would have liked to have been here to testify. I know you're on a tight schedule, so I'll make my comments brief. Certainly, probably not sweet. This issue, Mr. Chairman, has been on the North Slope Borough's radar since it was first introduced last year. We've stayed in contact with the congressional delegation. I personally have made three trips to Washington, D.C., where the issue was on the agenda. I can tell you that over 100 people attended the public hearing in Barrow, and I can certainly testify to the fact that the Postal Service got an earful. We all know that the cost issues here are up for debate. The Postal Service says it can save $1.3 million by using the truck haul approach. The air carriers, who I'm sure you'll hear from, seem to think that the Postal Service numbers are unrealistic and the savings will be small or non-existent. The North Slope Borough's big concern is the local and social impacts on the communities. The potential effect of air service or the lack of air service really has the people worried up there. If fares increase, if passenger service schedules are reduced, these things can really affect the local economy and make it harder for people to do business and are really basically taking a step backward. Any impacts in Barrow will be greatly magnified out there in the communities. When the gentleman from the Postal Service, I can give you, you know, an example. If you do have a lot of bad weather up there. You mentioned it when you first started out the hearing, Mr. Chairman, and the faster you get things to Barrow, the faster they can get out to those villages, and many times those products have to sit in Barrow just trying to get the weather to accommodate the small aircraft.
What Dennis, what do you prefer up in Barrow, green lettuce or brown lettuce?
Well, I was just getting to that. That's almost one of my lines, Mr. Chairman. The loss of the current bypass system will have a whole range of effects on the community. Lowering the quantity and the quality of perishable goods is certainly one of those considerations. I can tell you personally, I've raised children in Barrow, and nobody wants to go back to the days of black bananas, soft tomatoes, soft cucumbers, and I can tell you my kids did not like powdered milk in the days when the milk was not fresh enough to get up there. But there's other effects, Mr. Chairman. The possibility, the lack of service or the increase in rates can affect the tourist business, and we all know that many of those trips start right there in Fairbanks, so it can have a double effect on two different economies. It can become more difficult to recruit teachers, doctors, and other professionals who have a direct link to the world through our current passenger jet service. If they don't think they can get out, they're not too inclined to live up there. You also have the medical issues. You know, the medical facilities in Barrow basically treat emergencies. People have to get on that Alaska Airlines and get out for treatments, especially people that are undergoing life-threatening type of issues. You also have the student issues. There's many academic activities that you need the air transportation for, as well as sports. And we all know how important sports are to the communities. Mr. Chairman, it's a difficult issue. I can tell you that Mayor Itta is gearing up to monitor it if it becomes a reality. Within my own division, he's asking me to assign one of our economists to it to keep very close track of the new system. We would like to think that it will not become a reality, but if it does, I can assure you that we are going to track every impact that happens to this community. And if it turns out that the Postal Service is saving nickels and dimes as compared to the damage that they're going to do to the local economies of Barrow and in the villages, we plan on letting our delegation in Washington, D.C. know. I'd like to close, Mr. Chairman, by just reading a quote that was Mayor Itta had did an article for the Arctic Sounder, and he ended his article by saying, "I am very concerned about the long-term effects of the proposed changes in the service. Bypass mail was created, and I emphasize, was created to make local economies stronger. If it is eliminated, the economies of Barrow, Wainwright, Akwesasak, Point Lay will suffer. The question is not whether the savings to the Postal Service justifies the economic damage to the communities. I do not believe that they do. For $1.3 million, this is just plain a bad idea." Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Are there questions for Mr. Roper? Chair Newman?
Thank you, Chair. Mr. Roper, you've obviously done quite a bit of extensive research on this issue. Do you have any financial numbers of any impacts that you could think of? Or how do we look at this as a dollar-for-dollar thing? Or is it more of a, just a social trade-off for dollars? I know that it's real nice to have fresher produce and stuff. The Postal Service says that they can get it there within 7 days, and that meets within their requirements, and that's all they're required to do, I guess. But I'd like to see, you know, you folks up there have a little bit better quality life. Do you have any numbers that we could look at or that we could compare?
No, we haven't put a lot of numbers in that to it. It's just basically been looking at what happens. But I can give you, a couple of examples in that, or it's certainly one. I heard the Postal Service just say that flights can't get down below 7 in the winter. Well, the community is used to 14. At two flights each day. And so, you know, just think of that impact alone by taking those flights out of the service. You have within the community itself of Barrow basically 4,300 people. And it doesn't take very long to disrupt the economy for, I realize that $1.3 million is a lot of money. But it doesn't take very long to get to $1.3 million in those type of impacts.
Thank you. I'd like to recognize that Representative Jewell has joined us. Representative, do you want to come sit with us up here, Reggie?
Well, you're probably almost done, right?
Oh, no. We're just peeling the apple here. Come on. Come on up. Are there any other questions for Mr. Roper? Dennis, thank you very much. We appreciate it. Next is Jim Dodson with the Fairbanks Economic Development Corporation. Hey, Jim.
Thank you. It's just like Mike DeLue when I start to talk. My name is Jim Dodson. I work for Fairbanks Economic Development Corporation.
You don't have to have that mic there close.
Sorry.
You're blasting her ears.
And I am here representing Fairbanks Economic Development and the mayor of the Fairbanks North Star Borough. The numbers that the Postal Service puts up, $1.3 million savings, that sounds like real money. But I think what we have to understand is what we're really trying to change here. We are trying to change a system that was put in place by Congress. The Rural Service Development Act was put in place for a reason, and I think Mr. Roper alluded to it. Alaska, as all of us know, has few transportation road systems. It was recognized that Congress gerrymandered Alaska when it divided Alaska up with the intent of not allowing roads to many areas. The Rural Service Development Act is intended to provide transportation for quality of life, goods and services, and passenger seats into rural Alaska. The Postal Service says it cost them $118 million to supply rural Alaska with that service. Alaska does not have the federal highway dollars that other states in the union have. Rural Alaska needs that transportation system. We have to be concerned that if we allow the RISA system to be dismantled, that at the state of Alaska will have to step in and pay those costs. Mr. Deaton alluded to the Rural Service Development Act, which is intended to provide a minimum number of seats into rural areas. The Rural Service Development Act supports the total United States. RISA supports Alaska. The Rural Service Development Act is proposed to be cut by $77 million in Congress today. We are trying to save $1.3 million out of $118 million to dismantle a system that has been effective for years. Today, we have three carriers, Alaska Airlines, Northern Air Cargo, and Everett's Air, flying airplanes out of Fairbanks to Barrow, providing goods and services and seats. What they're proposing is those same three carriers fly those same aircraft out of Dead Horse. So Barrow would be connected with Dead Horse instead of Fairbanks. If you kind of follow that logic, you'd have to say that the residents of Dead Horse would be of Barrow would be serviced by Dead Horse and would have to park their cars over in Dead Horse and drive to Fairbanks 502 miles. That defies logic. It defies logic that the Postal Service would put up on the screen that there is no impact to rural Alaska. That simply does not make sense.
Are there any carriers based in Dead Horse?
There are no mainline carriers based in Dead Horse.
How do they get the planes to Dead Horse?
If the Postal Service was allowed to implement their business plan, they would have to fly their airplanes to Dead Horse for nothing. And then they could charge the 41 cents from Dead Horse to Barrow.
Hard to get that. Maybe I'm just dumb, but I'm trying to...
It's hard to understand the logic. We have asked the Postal Service for the financial information because as we did the calculations, and of course we don't have the information they have, but as we did the calculations, we cannot find the savings. They claim proprietary information. They have been granted a monopoly to move this mail in the state of Alaska. Coupled with that is the RISA Act. I cannot understand how they could have proprietary information when they're simply the only people out there doing the job. Well,
yes, sir. Representative Kelly?
Thank you, Mr. Dodson. How many, I know this has had an effect that started in 2003, 2004. Do you know how many air carriers have actually gone out of business because of the bypass mail changes?
the law has changed at least twice since they put it into effect. I don't know the number that have gone about out of business, but it is, of course, in the smaller carriers, the 135 carriers. My guess would be at least 25% of them.
And if they, if a route which might have been profitable going from Fairbanks to Dead Horse to Barrow is only going from Dead Horse to Barrow, do you think that eventually the cost of essential air service when it's rebid or reawarded will go up considerably because a plane has to go empty to accomplish this?
The cost of the bypass mail?
Uh-huh.
The Department of Transportation is charged with the responsibility of gathering the cost of the mainline carriers and recalculating it on an annual basis. It only makes sense that the cost of the carriers are going to go up, so consequently, the cost of moving the mail is going to go up.
And do you know how many, as you know, after 30 years in the utility business, I flew a lot of bypass mail to the bush, 30 different villages, and was flying for one of the airlines that shut down, one of the 135 airlines that shut down because of the change in bypass rules. And while I think a lot of us, particularly conservatives among us, applaud the post office on what they're trying to do in some of these areas to cut costs, you very accurately stated the way it touches down here in Alaska it can be devastating to the communities. And I guess, do you know how many empty seats or how many passenger seats this would eliminate from between Fairbanks and Dead Horse, Fairbanks Barrow, if this link is cut out?
We don't know. As of today, we do not know how many passenger seats it would cut out, but my understanding is that Alaska Airlines is poised to file their new schedule, and once that schedule is filed, we will know how many seats are going to be cut out of that particular route.
And might that be a lot different because of the way you've just got the tail left from this dog? And might that be a lot different from an impact where Pan Air, some of the examples that they gave for other communities where they've made the switches?
Absolutely. I think we're going to see a drastic reduction of seats between Fairbanks and Barrow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. I'm sorry, does that conclude
nope,
your?
That concludes.
Okay, thank you very much, Tim. Next, if we can go to Shauna Blankenship in Barrow. Shauna, are you with us?
Yes, I am. This is Shauna Blankenship for the record.
Go ahead, please.
I am here on behalf of the Superintendent of Schools for the North Slope Borough School District, Trent Blankenship. He was unable to join you by telephone, so I will read a statement prepared by Superintendent Blankenship. In the Postal Reorganization Act of 1970, the U.S. Postal Service is granted special protection for the right to post boxes and delivery of first-class mail to the U.S. government because of its commitment to provide a standard of service to all box holders, rural and urban. In a 1976 amendment to the Act, the U.S. Postal Service was required to provide a maximum degree of effective and regular postal services to rural areas, communities, and small towns where post offices are not self-sustaining. It being the specific intent of Congress that effective postal services be ensured to residents of both rural and urban communities. In assisting the Senate to craft reform legislation, the Governmental Accounting Office crafted GAO-04-803, USPS Report on Delivery and Retail Services. In it, it was recommended that the Postmaster General provide improved transparency and communication to inform Congress and other stakeholders of actions it plans to take regarding its retail optimization strategy, including, number one, the criteria USPS will use to make decisions related to changing its retail network, We have requested the cost analysis and specific data used to propose this decision. It has not been provided. Two, the process it will use to communicate with postal stakeholders throughout the decision-making process. The Rural Post Office and Community Preservation Act of 2003 and House Regulation 3432, Post Office Community Partnership Act of 2003 requires USPS decision makers in our region to involve us in decisions that will impact the quality of service we receive. The Alaska Postmaster has not given us the information we've requested. We have not been given the opportunity to propose and examine alternatives to this plan. Clearly, this decision hasn't been responsive to the Rural Post Office and Community Partnership Act. Three, the impact on customers, including those in rural areas. Where is the impact data on Barrow and the North Slope for this decision? You are required to share it. And number four, the time frames for implementing all phases of this retail optimization initiative. We have requested the cost analysis, impact data, timelines, and specific data used to propose this decision, and it has not been provided. We have asked you to involve us to generate alternatives, and you have not responded. The GAO noted that the U.S. Congress has made it clear on several occasions to the United States Postal Service that universal service standard is not to be compromised in rural areas in any contemplated reform. We have requested information that assures us that the universal standard will be preserved here, that the mail on the North Slope will be delivered as timely and in a reliable fashion under this proposal has not, excuse me, that the mail on the North Slope will be delivered in as timely and reliable fashion under this proposal as it has been previously delivered. But our concerns to this end were not addressed. But there is hope for us. In February, S-662 on postal reform passed, despite being opposed by the United States Postal Service. We support their reform of the USPS. We are encouraged to see Congress exert control over our postal system to protect us. We know all too well it cannot come soon enough. If this decision moves forward without having provided us a timeline, fiscal impact, cost-benefit analysis, opportunity for participation, we must be prepared to act as a community. We need to let this bill's sponsors, Senator Collins of Maine, Senator Carper of Delaware, know that in the eyes of the Alaska USPS, the people of the North Slope are somehow less deserving than the rest of Alaska. That while the senators are championing transparency at a national level, this transaction is being rushed to completion behind closed doors, with no cooperation of our elected representatives in the borough, tribes, or cities. That while the senators are championing universal service to all rural areas in Alaska, the USPS believes it is only those rural areas surrounding Anchorage and Fairbanks that should enjoy comparable services. The service to the native peoples in the bush is held to a different, more cost-effective standard. That while those senators believe that providing universal postal service is the cornerstone of USPS's mission, the Alaska USPS will discriminate among its customers in order to provide a trucking contract and a processing center to a businessman in Fairbanks. We need to write Senators Collins, Carper, Senators Murkowski and Stevens, and support their belief embodied in S-662, that, and I quote, universal service is essential to the nation's communication network and economy, that it is vital to the American people, many of whom rely upon the consistency of mail delivery and convenient access to the retail postal network. We can prove that without roads, consistent access to mail is more important here than almost anywhere in America. It is the cornerstone of not only of our economy, but of our quality of life. In summary, if this proposal moves forward without transparency, opportunity for participation, or regard for universal service, we must come together as a community and provide universal opposition. however and wherever possible. Thank you, Superintendent Blankenship, North Slope Borough School District.
Thank you, Shauna, for that testimony. Would you please fax that to my office so we can have a copy of it? Our fax number is 465-2070, 465-2070.
Yes.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair.
Next, if we can go to Bill McKay, the Senior Vice President for Alaska Airlines. Bill, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes. Thank you for phoning in this evening.
You're welcome. I'm happy to be here. I'd like to provide some prepared testimony, if I might, and then be happy to answer questions.
Thank you very much.
Co-chairs Ramirez and Newman, members of the committee, my name is Bill McKay, and I serve as Senior Vice President Alaska for Alaska Airlines. I'm joined today by Jeff Carlson, our remote station operations manager. We are grateful for the opportunity to discuss the Barrow Bypass mail issue with you today and appreciate the committee's leadership in addressing this important matter. In my Anchorage-based position, I'm involved in leading many aspects of our operations here in the state and have been coordinating Alaska Airlines' response to the Barrow mail issue for over a year. Alaska Airlines is opposed to the U.S. Postal Service plan to truck the Fairbanks Barrow non-priority bypass and in-house non-priority mail from Fairbanks to Deadhorse, where it would then be flown to Barrow. Having spent over two decades in statewide leadership positions with the airline here in Alaska, I have come to understand very well the critical role the bypass mail program serves in getting essential goods shipped into rural Alaska communities. What's more, this program helps to ensure the economic viability of scheduled passenger airline service to these towns and villages, air service that is critical given the lack of any road connections to these locations. Alaska Airlines currently operates at least 11 nonstop flights each week between Fairbanks and Barrow. We operate an additional daily round trip from Anchorage to Deadhorse. This level of service assures that Barrow residents receive all of the necessities moving under the bypass mail program on a daily basis. The Postal Service, however, is now proposing to transfer the approximately 10 million pounds of annual bypass and in-house non-priority mail for surface carriers from Fairbanks to Deadhorse to connect with an as-yet undetermined number of flights between Deadhorse and Barrow. While we are committed to minimizing the negative impact for residents of the North Slope and the interior, the Postal Service plan will force us to significantly alter our schedule and pattern of service to Fairbanks, Barrow, and Deadhorse. Alaska Airlines understands and appreciates that the plan is driven by the Postal Service's desire to reduce its costs. However, we sympathize with those living in the North Slope Borough who are very concerned with how this altered flow of shipped goods will impact the timeliness and quality of mail delivery to their communities. Their very understandable anxiety over delays in receipt of mail and increases in damaged goods caused by the new overland segment and additional handling of the mail should be carefully considered. Alaska Airlines, therefore, hopes that the legislature will encourage the Postal Service to indefinitely postpone implementation of its proposed Fairbanks Barrow program until there has been additional review, with full participation by the residents of Barrow and the other affected communities, of the entire range of social and economic costs the program would impose, in addition to whatever savings the United States Postal Service might accrue. I thank the co-chairs and the committee for your time and interest in this very important matter.
Thank you, Bill. If those are prepared remarks, would you please fax those to us so we can include them in the record at 907-465-2070?
I'm sorry, 2070?
Yes, sir, 465-2070.
I'll be happy to, sir. Would in the morning be
sure
time enough? We'll do that.
Absolutely. Are there any questions for Mr. McKay? Are we going to see a loss in seats between Fairbanks and Barrow for passenger service, Mr. McKay?
Well, you know, it remains to be seen. As Mr. Deaton mentioned, we have told him and other Postal Service folks that we've discussed this issue with over the months, and also in conversations with both our friends in Barrow and Fairbanks, that until we know absolutely A, that's going to occur, and then a time and date certain, it's very difficult for us to tell precisely what reaction to this we're going to have to take. As I think everybody's aware, I mean, our operation is perhaps a bit more complex than might readily meet the eye. We have not only aircraft scheduling challenges, but crew rotations, both flight crew and ground crew, advanced loading of computer schedules, and all of that. As to the loss of revenue, I think it's also clear that by definition, if there is a savings, be that $1.3 million or whatever, that will be will represent a loss of revenue to someone. You know, how much of that will be incurred by Alaska Airlines, once again, remains to be seen. And we'll only know that, you know, when and if this actually, you know, takes place.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Mr. McKay, thank you very much for taking time to participate in our process. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. McKay?
Yes.
Representative Dahlstrom has a question for you.
Sure.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Actually, my question is for Steve Denton with the post office, if you would come forward.
Thank
for a
you,
minute.
Mr. McKay. Yes, Steve.
Thank you, Mr. McKay. Up.
You're welcome.
It's Deaton.
Deaton. I apologize. Thank you.
It happens. It's very common.
And I was 5 minutes late for the committee, so I apologize if this has been covered. I'm sure my peers here will give me the look. You know, I can remember as a kid growing up and seeing the movies, the Western movies, and when the person, and it was usually a man, rode into wherever on a horse and delivered the mail, they were just the hero. And everybody waited for the mail to come, and everything revolved around that. Was the United States Postal Service set up as a service to the people in this country, or was it originally set up as a money-making organization?
I have to apologize. I wasn't around when that occurred. So
I assume that.
I can't speak with facts about the actual inception of the Postal Service. My understanding was that it was a government entity and set up as a service, mail service to communities throughout the United States.
Okay, and follow up, Mr. Chair?
Certainly.
Thank you. And that's kind of my understanding, too. And so I guess my question is, has there been a federal mandate? Have you been charged with no longer being an organization that is there to provide a service to the country, or are you charged with making money? And if you don't make money or a certain amount of money, you are penalized?
It's a very interesting question. Someone previously mentioned the Postal Reorganization Act of 1970.
Correct, and I haven't read that, so I apologize.
I have not read it either. It's rather lengthy, but that one of the things that that act did is it removed the Postal Service from the federal treasury. We do not get tax dollars. We don't report to the Congress or the federal treasury. We're a pseudo department. And that act, that law, mandated that the Postal Service act as a business entity. We still have postal rate commission and oversights of that nature that regulate our rate making authority and our setting of rates and stamps and costs and those things. But we are required to operate as a business. We are required to generate our own revenue. We do that, as I understand it, outside of maybe five or $10,000 a year for matter free mailing for the blind. That is the only money that we get anymore from since 1970-72 from the federal treasury, and from that point on we're supposed to generate our own revenue and act as a business and try to break even over a period of time.
Okay, through the chair.
Yeah, please.
So are you making money, or are you just breaking even every year?
In general, we lose money some years, we make money some years. I believe I've been informed that this year we're on pace to lose about $1 billion. Some of that has to do with the rate making process and when that catches up in terms of revenue, but that is my understanding. This year we will be in the red.
And when the years that you do make money, is that money invested?
I do not know the answer to that question.
And another question, are all federal agencies who are mandated to act as a business entity, are all of those federal agencies required to make money?
I personally do not know of any other federal agency that has the mandate of not receiving government tax dollars other than the Postal Service. We're on our own separate treasury.
Okay.
We don't get tax dollars. We don't get revenue from the federal rolls. And I don't know of any other, I personally don't know of any other agency, federal agency, that is in that position.
Okay. Well, Mr. Chair, maybe as we hear other people testify, and I guess I'm going to need to pull up this 1970 Act and the 76th Amendment and read it, but it almost appears as if the goal of the agency, the original goal, has been changed, and now we're seeing, you know, the effect of that affect our state, who is so different in so many ways.
Well, it is different. If I may just add, universal service does not mean that everybody in the country gets mail service to their town or their house. There's lots of rural places throughout the country where they have to go somewhere to get their mail. There's density requirements and things like that. So universal, so there's communities in Alaska that don't qualify for mail service. It doesn't mean that we don't make mail service available to them in the closest possible place for them to get their mail. But this is a case of where these communities, and communities we've made service changes to in the past, qualify for mail service. And they qualify for a specific type and a specific mail standard, service standard, I mean. And it's our intention in Barrow that nothing will change in that. They will still receive the same service standard for the products that they purchased that they received in the past.
Okay, and then just one final question with two parts. One, I'd like to know who you report to, just because I want to know the structure of how that goes. And then I guess my final question would be, you know, our interest is in continuing negotiations and working through this, so it's obviously the best end deal for everybody involved. Do you have information other than that this is a done deal as far as on your end? Is the post office, and I realize you are the bearer of the message, you know, you're the messenger, but the people that you are representing, have they made a decision and that's going to happen no matter what?
The most current decision was to move to the last step of the proposal. That step was to request carriers who are interested in participating in this modal change to submit schedules to the Postal Service. I think I may have mentioned it earlier, but Postal Service doesn't dictate carriers' schedules, their flight patterns, their fares, anything. If no carriers come back, that's probably bad grammar. If the carriers come back to us as a group and no one is interested in participating in the Fairbanks to Barrow leg, then this proposal will not move forward.
It would just stay as it is, status quo.
That's correct. So I offer that to answer your question. It's not a final done deal because we haven't reached that stage yet where we have received submitted schedules from the carriers offering their service in that market.
And then can you talk about your reporting structure?
I work for what's called the Western Area Distribution Networks. It is based out of Seattle and Denver. There's two offices that handle the entire West Coast for mail transportation. I am a two-person office in Anchorage that the Postal Service put here because of the uniqueness of Alaska. I report to the manager of the Western Area Distribution Networks office, who's in Denver. This project is being jointly proposed and shepherded by the Western Area, my office, the Western Area Distribution Office, and Commercial Air in Postal Headquarters. The manager of Commercial Air in Postal Headquarters.
Thank you. And can I say, for the benefit of members of the committee and those that are listening, Mr. Deaton has been in Alaska for 42 years, so he's he's, I mean, a committed Alaskan himself. I just want to speak on your behalf. You're a good man. You lived here. You got an equity stake in the state of Alaska, just like everybody else. But you're, you know, defending a position that
I appreciate that.
Not and greatly enjoyed by the committee, but you're a good man. We had a nice visit prior to this, and I just want to make sure that we can demonize the issue, but not the messenger. You're a good man.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Let's go back to our testimony because it's getting late in the evening. We want to try and speed things up. Is Mayor Ullman with us from Barrow?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Mr. Mayor, not only can I hear you, but so can Representative Jewell. So just be warned, sir.
Okay.
Vice versa.
Good evening, Honorable Representative Jay Ramos and Mark Newman. Hi, Leo.
Hi, Uncle.
With the mail service, my family goes way back. My grandfather, Barry Inovina, was a dog team mail carrier between Barrow and Nome in early 1900s. My dad was with the Army Signal Corps as a telegram operator and Morse code operator before regular mail started here in Barrow. I'm going to base some of my statements from the August 24, 2005 Barrow public meeting on proposal to make mail air to surface air. Approximately 150 residents turned out to express their concern over the plan. The meeting was aired across the slope on KBRW radio. I'm going to state some of the statements like I said. We have written to our federal delegates, Senator Stevens, Senator McCoskey, Representative Young. Communications are still ongoing, up to date with them. I believe everybody has taken trouble of investigating the nature of the management of why these impacts are happening, and we're still interested. It will send us back to 1960s in terms of air transportation. Mine is hand-written, so I'm reading from it. Without bypass mail on board, our current passenger air service will cut back severely. Like it stated, 14 flights by Alaska Air would come down to 4 flights per week. Either passenger fares will skyrocket or air carrier will serve one car market with less available planes. Even with a new airport runway that's being built up here, supposedly for more air services to Barrow, the reduction of postal service is a concern to all of us because it will significantly delay the delivery of perishable goods and also cause more spoilage, which will increase our retail price in our community. The quality of bypass mail, especially produce, eggs, and milk, will decline due to the extra time of trucking them to Dead Horse. Even with bypass mail now, we are running out of stock for whaling. That is happening now with over 40 whaling crews getting ready. If bypass mail stops, it will really hurt the whaling crew getting ready for camping out on the ice with less supplies, not in stores. It sent us back to 50s version of whaling, living on what we catch while camping on the ice to eat. In closing, I'd like to thank the House Special Committee on Economic Development, Trade and Tourism, and the co-chairs for this opportunity, and I got a copy of your letter dated April 19 to the Postmaster General. I support your letter based on rural service improvement act. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Are there any questions for the mayor? I don't know if those are written remarks, and we sure would love to get a copy of those, Mr. Mayor. May I give you a telephone number?
I got it. I wrote down your fax number here, and I'll have them back tomorrow, and we'll fax them down.
We appreciate that, and Representative Jewell would like to have a minute.
Just a second, Nate. good luck this spring.
Thank you, y'all.
Thank you very much. Next, we'll go back to Rex Wilhelm with the Alaska Commercial Company. Rex, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Please.
Okay. Well, Mr. Chairman, committee members, my name is Rex Wilhelm. I'm the President and Chief Operating Officer of Alaska Commercial Company, AC. We're the largest retailer in rural Alaska of food, general merchandise, and apparel products. I'm a 25-year Alaskan, and four of those years were spent running the AC store Stuckbuck in Barrow. So I'm very familiar with the community and its needs. As a retailer that's looking to ship more than 5.5 million pounds of bypass to Barrow this year, I'm very concerned that this change will negatively impact our store, Barrow, and the surrounding communities. The haul road from north of Fairbanks to Dead Horse is very rough and will inevitably lead to more damaged mail, which for AC is mostly food. The mail trucks will encounter extreme temperatures and winds, road problems, including closures, all of which will cause delays and possibly more damaged freight. Also, the unloading and loading in Dead Horse will result in mail being handled two more times with the added potential for even more damage. Since there are no claims allowed with bypass mail, our store would have to absorb the lost product and shipping cost, which in turn would be reflected in higher local retails. Another issue of concern is the added transit time. Under the present situation, our bypass generally arrives in Barrow within 3 days of mailing. Under the proposed change, it would take a minimum of 4 to 5 days for the mail to reach Barrow. Those extra days would decrease the life expectancy and quality of produce and dated products such as dairy. Additionally, the post office does not require hubs such as Dead Horse to have coolers and freezers. Under the new scenario, once the mail reaches Dead Horse and is transferred to the air carrier, the post office will allow the air carrier 2 days to move the mail from Dead Horse to Barrow. I'm concerned that our freeze and chill products could potentially be stored in unrefrigerated storage space during those 2 days. Lastly, another concern, one that's been shared in this, is the inevitable reduction of scheduled service to Barrow by large aircraft for both passengers and cargo. I assume a reduction of 10.2 million pounds to the three carriers has to decrease their ability to keep their current service schedule, and both passengers and cargo will then move less frequently into and out of Barrow. Once again, Alaska Commercial Company is the largest retailer in rural Alaska, and we work very hard to keep our prices down. I am seriously concerned that this proposed change would result in a lower product quality, increased damage, and loss of products, all of which will be reflected in higher retails to our customers. I feel this change would be a disservice to the people of Barrow and the surrounding communities. That's the end of my statement, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, Rex. Are those prepared remarks, and can you fax them to us? And
do you have our fax? Certainly will.
Have you heard our fax number?
I sure did.
I see. And Rex, notwithstanding the U.S. taxpayer, and we all just came through tax season, but who's the winner? Who in this scenario, who wins?
In this scenario, I don't think anybody wins. Ultimately, the large loser is the consumer in Barrow and the surrounding villages, who have every right to expect the type of lifestyle that other Americans enjoy. And when the bypass mails system was created, it was an attempt to bring that quality of service and that quality of life to rural communities in Alaska. And as the mayor had mentioned just before my testimony, my concern is that we'll see Barrow slip back into a state that existed before the bypass mail system, where, you know, you used to come to the store and you would find, you know, products that, you know, that aren't desirable. Now, that's a worst case scenario. We're not sure exactly how things will change and come about with this, but it's been my experience with 25 years of dealing with rural markets, that a change of this magnitude, it just scares me. And I just don't see how it's going to work. And I'm very, very concerned, again, for what that's going to do to the income and what people in rural Alaska will be able to do to, you know, to provide food and you know, the basic products on their table and for their local consumption.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Mr. Willem? Thank you. Yes, sir. Representative Joel.
Just based on your last comment, you kind of spoke for rural Alaska in general, and I just struck me, while this may be the first step in a loss of service to one part of rural Alaska, does the mother store have some concern that this may become a trend?
Well, again, I'm speaking from my experience, and the bypass mail chain system has changed in terms of how it's been operated and how those of us who use the system have been able to work with it over the years. I can honestly tell you that when I was a young grocery manager in Barrow back in the early 1980s, that the system worked more effectively in those days than what it does today. I'm concerned that that we're seeing a change that's happening with how the postal system is using the system in rural Alaska. And I am concerned that if this change happens in Barrow, that there'll be other changes that we'll see in communities that rely heavily on the bypass mail system to keep that cost of living in check.
Thanks. Thank you. Thank you, Representative Jewell. Thank you very much, Rex. We appreciate it. We've also been joined by our friend, Senator Olson, with us. Nice to see you, Senator. Look good.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir. And Jeff Comstock, are you with us from Fairbanks? Is he still there? We lost him? Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Let's go back to Barrow, please. We've got just two or three more folks, and we'll try and wind things up here. George Ullman, are you there?
I'm sorry, he left, sir.
Okay, how about Linda Wenning? Is she there?
Yes, she is.
Yes.
Hi, Linda. If you'll state your name for the record and then proceed, please.
My name is Linda Wenning, and I'm the finance director for the city of Barrow. I attended that meeting on August 24th, and in times past, the people that were the messengers would have been tarred and feathered. It was a very, very heated meeting. 4,100 people were only allowed 2 hours to present. They worked very hard to end that presentation. They claimed that they were going to fly out that night. That was the reason they left. This is a small town, sir, and they didn't leave till the next morning. So it's been an adversarial situation. I also would like to state that the Postal Service, I don't think, understands the degree of service that we presently enjoy. I had a very important letter that I needed to send from here at 1 o'clock on a Monday, and I said, I'll pay any price. I just want to get it to Texas as fast as possible. It was promised for Thursday at 3 o'clock. Now, that's our fastest overnight or express or whatever the word is used to describe the best service that can be provided. And that's with our current situation. This, along with the increase in fuel prices, will adversely affect our passenger service. We will have higher fares. We will have less service. We will have less tourists. A lot of times now, the tourists come in the morning, spend the day, and leave in the evening on the same day. If they fly through Dead Horse, this is not possible. And so we're looking at fewer jobs. Medical care access is a huge issue. And the people that need urgent care, and if they have to wait to get out, this is not good. The weather has to be good in three places, not two. It has to be good in Fairbanks and Dead Horse and Barrow for a flight to go through. There will be more canceled flights, which will be worse mail service. And another thing I'm very confused on is, why is there only one trucking firm and three airlines involved with this? I don't understand that at all. And that's about the extent of my comments. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Linda. Are there any questions? Linda, we thank you for waiting and participating. I appreciate that. Is Susan Hope there, please?
Yes, thank you. My name is Susan Hope, for the record. And, you know, I'm listening to the message, and I'm thinking 2 days to move it 48 hours. If you have a bypass out of Seattle and they have 48 hours to move it, they can keep it in their facilities in Seattle and up to 48 hours. Because if they have thousands and thousands of pounds to move, they can hold it. And then they have the time of trucking it to Anchorage. And then from Anchorage, it's my understanding, they have an additional 48 hours to move it again. Because obviously they can't use the same driver and probably not the same vehicle. And then they have, then that gets shipped to Fairbanks and then driven up the Hall Road, probably with another vehicle, and possibly another 48 hours. And then into Prudhoe, where then it moves to an air carrier, and they have an additional 48 hours to move it to Barrow, and then another 48 hours from Barrow to another village like Point Lay or Wainwright or Atkatsuk. Or so I guess my question is, how can that only be according to their law, their bylaws? How can that be just 7 days? Because it doesn't include the 19 hours of trucking time between Fairbanks and Barrow. Unless maybe it's not 19 hours. I think I've driven it and I thought it was 19 hours. Maybe I was just abiding by the law of going 55 miles an hour. And then the storage facilities. You know, I work with the school district, and we ship all our meat. And we had some meat that was going to Koktovik, and that all spoiled because in August it was out in the ramp because Frontier took over Cape Smyth, so there was no longer two carriers going to Koktovik. There was only one carrier now going to Koktovik, and they couldn't fit all of the school's meat, and we lost between $10,000 to $14,000 worth of meat for the school district. And that was just one incident where they couldn't contain all that food. And I guess my big concern is, if we have just for AC 5.5 million pounds moving for just the store, how do you regulate what moves? I mean, let's just say if Barrow has all their freight, all their bypass being moved through an air carrier, what happens to the village of Wainwright? When they're waiting and waiting and waiting to get their food, because Barrow's food is being used, it's inconsistency to each individual village, and if Barrow is, my fear is Barrow's going to hose it. They're just going to inundate it with so much freight that the smaller carriers won't be able to serve the villages. Also, I wanted to point out that. I've done a lot of charters for the school district, and even just chartering planes is very difficult because last year Frontier designated Thursdays for the state of Alaska's use in charters, and we could never use Thursday because that was a contract service that Frontier had. So even just having meetings, we couldn't use Thursday to any of the villages on anything, for any use. Also, weather delays. You know, I would be real interested to see on the larger planes how much visibility they have while they're able to land on our runway, and then the visibility on the smaller planes. What are those requirements? Because I think they're more stringent on the smaller aircraft, and that will affect, again, more delays in our food. And another question that I wanted to point out for, and I really appreciate you listening to this, but I think my biggest concern is that the supply and demand, that in, you know, Nate had mentioned whaling, and he had mentioned that maybe they're going to have to go back to the old way of having to hunt and gather. And I think it's going to be worse than that, because what it would cost more to even for the things that we, the basics, to go back to the old way, be more expensive. Therefore, not everyone could afford to even go back to the old way. And so I think there's more ramifications than just clearly what the report states. Thank you.
Susan, we want to thank you. Very articulate speaker, and you illustrated a lot of the concerns, I think, throughout the testimony this evening. Are there any questions for Ms. Hope? Susan, thank you very much. I appreciate you spending part of your evening with us, and your message was certainly heard loud and clear by this special committee on it's charged with economic development, trade, and tourism. And your remarks will be included in the letter that the committee will be sending out to the U.S. Postal Service, which will comprise many of the concerns that you just articulated. And the Alaska State Legislature is certainly going to follow this issue carefully and ask the state of Alaska through the lieutenant governor, who is our designee as the Secretary of State, to weigh in on this matter and to get answers to many of the questions that you just posed. And we will make sure the letter comes that a copy of that letter is forwarded to your community so that you can follow the questions that we also will be asking. With that, is there any final committee discussion?
Mr. Co-Chair, have we made contact about these issues with our congressional delegation, Senator Mikulski, Senator Stevens, Congressman Don Young?
Yes, we have, and they are aware of the concerns Post Office, as Mr. Deaton has indicated, is its own machine, and they are standing by to look forward to the investigation that the state of Alaska makes into this situation. But I think, by and large, they're maintaining a more neutral status on this, and allowing us to do our due diligence. You know, that this committee and this legislature is charged with.
I would hope, Mr. Chair, that it's more than neutral. I would hope they would take a position on this, because that's federal to federal. We are state to federal. Thank you.
Yes, Representative Lane, the Senator Stevens is the one who authored the rural, RSIA, I believe, during his tenure. I think his stance is just on us addressing this bypass mail issue in particular.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Are there any other remarks, Mr. Chairman?
Thank you. I asked earlier about some of the economic impacts, if we could get some real numbers. We've certainly heard about some of the social impacts, and I'm just reading some of the information that we've received here. The folks from Barrel, the city of Barrel, estimates that when they do their figures, the U.S. Postal Service will lose a minimum of $400,000 a year. Some of those that, although they'll save $2.4 million in airline carrier costs, trucking costs are going to be $1.5 million. Personnel and dead horse, $200,000. And other costs, so they come up an estimated $626,000 in the hole. But when we looked at Fairbanks, according to Mayor Whitaker in a paper sent to Senator Mikulski, there will be an estimated loss of $240,000 in landing fees at Fairbanks International Airport. Alaska Airlines may have a loss of approximately $2 million, and I wonder how much that will be moved on to passenger traffic. Again, with Fairbanks North Star Borough estimates the loss of visitors to the top of the world day trips that may go to Barrow of $260,000 per year in direct spending and an additional $80,000 in indirect spending for a total of $340,000 lost revenue, again from the Fairbanks Convention and Visitor Bureau. Other losses related to a total of $672,000. I don't know if some of these costs, I realize that the Postal Service is trying to do a good job, and I think that the Postal Service does a very good job in what they do. But I'm concerned that maybe some of these costs are being transferred to the communities of Alaska through this, and not just in the financial or the social, but some of the financial ends. I don't know if Steve wants to address that. I don't know if it really matters. These are just numbers that were given to us by the communities. So. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Newman. Representative Jewell?
Yeah, just, I'm sorry I wasn't here. I had conflicting meetings this evening, so I wasn't able to hear the post office make their presentation. But as I've been listening to all of this and just kind of thinking about the issue, the larger issue, a couple of questions pop into my mind immediately. One is, what would it take in terms of the vehicle infrastructure to move 5.5 million pounds a year? What are we talking about in terms of fleet? And how often would they be, you know, what does that mean they'd have to be running in run time? The other is, because of the increased traffic on this highway, road, Belton Highway, who would pay for the, you know, more traffic, more maintenance? And are we going to go back to Department of Transportation for continued road improvements, and at what cost? And are those costs going to outweigh the costs of what we're currently having to do? And I don't know if those questions got answered or were kind of addressed during, but those are a couple of the things that crossed my mind. And I'll just leave it at that. I think everybody has said very concisely, and for the time that I've been listening, the impacts to them, and I won't take that away from them.
Thank you, Representative Jewell. And I didn't see this other update. We had two other people on here, John Gleason and Mike Jeffrey. Are they still with you, or have they left?
They certainly are.
I'm sorry. I didn't see this. It was under document. We've been here for an hour and 40 minutes. I realize you've waited also. We'd be delighted to enjoy your testimony, but if you can be as concise as possible, we'd be grateful. Is Mr. Gleason there?
Yes, sir, I am.
Go ahead, Mr. Gleason.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, for the record, my name is John Gleason, and I'm the manager of the local Wells Fargo Bank here in Barrow. Currently, Wells Fargo has the luxury of working on a same-day banking system, which basically means that our proof work is processed and delivered to Anchorage to our processing center the same day via Alaska Airlines and Gold Streaks. With the event of any change in the airline's schedule, that could drastically affect our customers here in Barrow and how quickly their funds are credited to them.
Must have hit the mute button. You lost him?
No, they're
still connected. Out of respect to our friends up there, let's just, as a courtesy, take an at ease for just a couple of minutes to see if they come back online and... problems that are originating in Barrow. So are there any other closing comments or remarks by committee members? Seeing none, our apologies to our friends up in Barrow. If you can hear us, on the off-net, and we will process this information and author a letter and send it out to the Postal Service, and look forward to their response. It is 7:15, and the Economic Development, Trade, and Tourism Special Committee is adjourned.
Thank you.